Our doctor is in, and so are the doctors of Capital Health. Welcome to the all-new Health 411. Every Sunday morning at 10, Dr. Jonathan Karp, along with our respected panel of guests from Capital Health, take you on an important medical journey to help you navigate your health and the healthcare system to reach your destination, good health. Health 411 is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.
107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com. Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019, 2021, and 2022 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station, as well as the winner of the 2023 IBS College Media Award for universities under 10,000 students. We are broadcasting from the Bronx All Digital Studios on the campus of Rider University in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Welcome to Health 411. I am your host, Professor Jonathan Karp. This Health 411 program is presented by Capital Health Medical Center. In Health 411, we discuss a variety of issues affecting health and wellness, public health, healthcare policy, and the science of health and healthcare. Our goal is to expand your knowledge and perspective. Today, we are going to expand your knowledge and perspective in a conversation with BEA Link, who has a company that provides a healthcare product for people who have mobility issues. Welcome to Health 411 BE.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation, Nick.
Yeah, it should be a very, very interesting conversation. Before we start talking, I was mentioning I'm a biology professor, but this topic, we're going away from biology per se into sort of healthcare products to help people. Can you tell us, tell us about your company and the kind of aid you give to people, just as a launch off?
Yes, and I'd love to come back with how you just phrased that it's not about biology, because I think a lot of health is really much about biology, but we focus on problems, solving problems that are outside of us, and I think we should go a little bit more inside of us, but I'll come back to that later.
Yes, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that. That would be very
interesting. Yes, and yeah, that will be interesting, because I think there's a lot of biology going into this. Awareness about biology. So I invented a three-wheeled walking bike because my mom and I walked at the market one day in the Netherlands. I'm originally from the Netherlands. I live in Canada, Vancouver now. Out of the blue, she says, "Over my dead body, will I ever use one of those things?" And she pointed at people with, electrical electric scooters.
In a scooter or a manual walker kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. She pointed that out and she said, "Over my dead body, I'll ever use that one." And so what happened in that moment, two things. One, she caught herself on the judgment and how she judged those people. Second of all, that it sort of pointed out to me that medical devices are a technical solution for a body with a problem, and that emphasizes the disability. And when you emphasize the disability, knowing that people are uncomfortable around disabilities, you create a social divide between people with and without disabilities. And that to me instantly became a justice issue. And I was like, okay. I should be able to do something else.
I want to confirm that because my mother and my father, but my mother for a very long time before she passed away was in a wheelchair. And I have a long history of, she wasn't able to use her arms. And I remember taking her in her wheelchair, taking all sorts of places. And it was even people, they almost don't know what to do. It's like a human being in a wheelchair and they don't know whether to look at you. They don't know whether to look at the wheelchair. I was happy to talk about the wheelchair. My mother knew she was in a wheelchair. And you're right. You're absolutely right. People get very, very nervous and uncomfortable about that. And I still don't understand why. Is that sort of the issue that you're dealing with your mom?
Well, yeah. And everybody who lives with a disability and is faced with how we are disabled by society. We are not disabled because our body is moving differently, or I'm missing a leg, or I walk wonky because of MS or whatever. That doesn't change who I am. But society changes who I am because it judges you. It's uncomfortable. And now so we are disabled because society doesn't know how to deal with the discomfort around disabilities, which goes to the fact that we live in a society where you can't really talk about mortality. Right?
Well, it makes people uncomfortable. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I learned that, Nick, when I was 8, when my father died and people disappeared. Instead of showing up for a family that just lost their father, people disappeared. And I realized as an 8-year-old girl that people were uncomfortable. They didn't know what to say. So they disappeared for at least 2 years. Even our close family disappeared.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, you're absolutely right. Wow.
Yeah.
I think disabilities
is the first dent in our perception of that we're invincible. And we don't want to look at that. We rather dismiss people with disabilities rather than just understanding that people who have been hit by life know a little bit more about life. They're the most interesting people.
So just curiosity, were you in Canada when your father passed away, or were you in the Netherlands at the time?
No, in the Netherlands.
So this is something that's not unique to the US or Canada. So it's almost it's a human thing if it's happening internationally. Humans don't deal well with people who have had, you know, that are just different at all. So
I would say, and I traveled a lot, I lived in many places around the world. Uh-huh. I would say predominantly Western cultures have this problem.
Okay, that's fair.
Other cultures they have the whole process of dying and rituals around it and very different. So, I think it's the Western
culture. That's interesting. So it's more, the life cycle is more natural. In other cultures. I don't have that experience, but you're nodding. I can see you nodding. People on the radio can't see that, but you're acknowledging that people in other cultures are more at ease with that sort of the circle of life.
Yes. I mean, I think all indigenous people are more in the regenerative way of the cyclical way of life. Life and death meet each other. Without death, there is no life. And so the further you get away from the indigenous way of being all over the world, and the more you start measuring in money and transactional things instead of relational things that we are in this world, the more you get away from who we are, what we deeply understand. And what we deeply understand is that death is part of life. We regenerate, we compost, like forests are composting constantly, a body is composting constantly. But that is something that's so far away in the whole Western societies, because we measure human life in money, right?
Some people do, absolutely.
Yeah, and we don't want to talk about that we're gonna go.
Yeah.
At a certain time, I'm dying, and it's fine. As long as I've lived my life purposely. And this is the thing.
Yeah.
If we live a life that, you know, of consumers, just blatantly going what we've been trained to do, then that might not feel so purposeful. So now I want to hold on to the length of life rather than
this is a very interesting conversation, and we're digressing a little bit, but I'm thinking of a conversation I once had with somebody who was bedridden, and she said, even the pharaohs couldn't take it with them, but they tried, you know? You're not nodding again, but it's a very philosophical thought. And you know, it's sort of the cycle of life, but you created a cycle, right? For people who are struggling with mobility to sort of help out people. The three-wheeled bike that you mentioned earlier. And I have to ask you, what was it about your background that led you to invent this product that you'll tell us more about in other segments, as opposed to just acknowledging the philosophical questions and dealing that sort of like we're talking? You actually took the next step of identifying an issue, creating a product, and creating a business around that. So what was your background that sort of gave you the power to do that?
I didn't have a background to do that.
Oh, you didn't.
Okay,
But you
no.
did it.
I'm a woodworker and a restoration architect.
Oh my,
And
oh my God.
but I'm also easily bored, and I get activated when I see injustice. And what I said when my mom sat over my dead body, I realized that the social divide that current mobility devices create was to me an injustice thing. Like,
Oh,
I
wow.
can go, if I'm temporarily able-bodied, I can go to a bike shop and get the coolest bike that I want, right? The moment I have a disability, there's nothing cool available for me.
That's
Why
true.
Is that?
Wow. I want to hear more about this AE. And I promise the listeners that what you created is not made out of wood. But we're going to come back on Health 411.
First prototypes are.
Well, not the ones that people are using. We're going to come back with Health 411 after some brief underwriting announcements. You're listening to 107.7 The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronx is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant, that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell, to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties, to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
The Bronx and 1077thebronx.com. We're recording from the Digital Bronx Studios. Welcome back. We're having a conversation with BEA Link, who created a three-wheeled walking bike. At the end of the last segment, BEA said that her background is in woodworking, and she created a prototype. But I promised that the product that the people are actually using to be mobile, the three-wheeled walking bike, an A-Link is not made out of wood, but you had the courage to go from this idea to actually create something. Was it just the idea, or was your mother in need of something at the time?
Well, the fact that she said over my dead body, and what it made me realize is, like, what is available for me when I get older, and I get, like, shit can happen to us every day. I can be diagnosed with MS, get Parkinson's, get a stroke. Like, there's stuff that happens to even young people all the time. So I was like, I don't, like, if you look at what's available, it's either wheelchairs or walkers or rollators or canes. Or,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And the coolest that they make them look is by adding burgundy red to it or something.
Oh, you're so right.
Right?
Yeah, no, yes, I am familiar with that, yes.
Yes, it is the coolest that you can get is burgundy red. I mean, that's my big pet peeve, and I always talk about that. But so why is there not happy, cool stuff available for people with disabilities? So I set out to... because then they would love to use it, and it would be happy instead of like, oh, what happened to you? So I set out to make something that was so cool that everybody would want to use it, and that it's so cool that it bridges the divide between people with and without disabilities. And now you're the one on the cool bike, so people approach me and say, wow, what's that cool bike? And I said, well, I'll give you a clue, I can't walk. And then they say, oh, but we're already talking. And you've bridged the awkwardness.
Absolutely.
Can I talk to that person? Can I not talk? The bike becomes the center point of connection, and that bridges a lot. Plus, that you're the one on the cool bike. You're not the one to feel sorry for. You're like, oh my God.
Is an analogy, like, you know, is it like why some people get dogs and they take their dogs to walk in the park? Because they might not have the confidence or the courage to be able to walk up to a stranger and just talk. But now the dog becomes the thing to talk about, and it sort of breaks down that barrier.
Yes.
You're nodding as if I tapped on that
yes.
that same
yes.
piece of humanness.
Yeah, Neil Linker is even used to date. Seriously, because it's like you're feeling very different. If you're the one on a cool bike, you start feeling different about yourself. You start feeling different about going into a museum, going into a shopping mall, going, you know, out and about. People travel with the Linker. I've seen an Linker in Alaska, on the North Pole, on like on cruises to wherever. Like people take Linkers flying, on cruises, in trains and buses, like everywhere.
Cool.
Stuff that they wouldn't be able to do without the Linker.
Okay. And for our listeners, I've seen your website, so I have an idea of what this looks like. And you're using the word bike, and a lot of people think of a bicycle. Even if it's a three-wheeled bicycle where there's pedaling involved, that's not that's not what we're talking about here. Can you describe what the A-Linker you call it, or the A-Link device looks like?
Yes.
Like how, like sort of, can you make it so somebody listening to the podcast will sort of have the visual image in their head?
Yes, it's an overarching frame with a seat on top of it, so you sit down as you walk. So the seat is sort of at butt height, so to speak. So you walk over it from the back. There's a small back wheel overarching frame that goes to two big front wheels, 16-inch front wheels, 8-inch back wheel. And I can explain why. And so you walk on top of it, and then you slightly sit down. So you actually stand while being supported. Supported in your core, in your pelvis, on your sit bones, and then you can walk. But you walk on wheels. That's actually what's happening. Mm-hmm. And there's huge benefits to that. That goes back to the biology that I didn't know because I'm not a medical person. But through all the feedback that we got from people, we learn what the Linker does. It activates the brain because you exert pressure on your sit bones as you sit on the seat. Your pelvis is tilted back a little bit, and then you walk. Mm-hmm. And your brain gets the feedback.
Is the seat a traditional bicycle seat? Is it more like a motorcycle seat? Is it like a chair kind of? Can you describe what the seat is?
The seat is a bicycle seat, and that takes some getting used to because some people have never used the bike, or even if you have used the bike, the pressure on the Linker is a little bit different because you walk on wheels. Mm-hmm. There is a very specific way that you need to get used to it and get used to it a little bit. Once you do that, the benefits will far exceed the little bit of discomfort.
And the getting used to it, just you sort of said it before, it's just sort of the I'm putting words in your mouth, but I want people to realize it's really just the position of your pelvis.
Yes.
Is that correct? And so you want to get your pelvis not in the sitting position, but sort of more in the walking position, even though you're resting your buttocks sort of on the seat. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. And the difference with the bike is that the nose of the bike seat is generally not lower, equal or lower than the back of the seat.
Okay. So
and with the Linker, it's exactly the opposite. Yeah. The nose is a little bit higher than the back of the seat, which forces you to sit on the back of the seat, tilting your pelvis. So you're fully supported on your sit bones, on the structure of your body, but not crushing your front private parts.
Okay. Which is important.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your one's legs is the idea that you're flat-footed on the ground, are your toes on the ground? Like, what's the ideal positioning?
You sit a little bit lower than you think you should sit. So your legs are sort of bent under 30 degrees or something.
Okay.
Whereby you, if you do a full gait, you can, while your leg is behind you, you can still kick off. So you get a full gait out of it, and that requires your legs not being, you know, at full max, reaching the ground, because then you can't get any traction.
And so if somebody's listening who is familiar with somebody sitting in a wheelchair, which is more of a right angle, there's no way that somebody's legs can move if you're sitting in a wheelchair. So that's not what we're talking about here. It's basically a bicycle seat. Your legs are bent, which is actually great for circulation, right? Because you're not just sitting on your tuchus, you know, cutting off the circulation to your feet. Your legs can actually move. And do you actually need two legs to do this? Or do some people, can you do this with a prosthetic device or with one leg if people have had an amputation?
Yes, you can. And also people that have that had a stroke, that are paralyzed on one side or can barely use one side, they use the Olinker very successfully. It's quite stable. It's got the two wheels on the front, which makes the steering a very engineered thing. It looks very simple, like a sculpture. It's only coming in yellow. And
So, okay.
but the steering is like exactly the same mechanism. It's an Ackermann steering, which is the same mechanism as in a car
Oh,
to make it
okay.
possible, because you sort of tilt. I mean, you can see me move. People in the on the radio can't hear that, but can't see that. But it's sort of it's going through an arc that if you steer and the wheels are parallel and they go through the same radius, it would start bopping. So if you steer the left wheel, the inner wheel makes a smaller radius than the outer wheel.
To maintain
So
stability, yeah.
yes, and that is exactly the same as what's happening in cars, but that takes some engineering, and it looks simple, but it's actually quite heavily engineered, the
Wow.
whole thing.
And there are brakes too. So if somebody is moving down a hill, they can stop it, they can lock the wheels, and they have self-control over that. That's correct.
You have to not speed up down a hill and then try to brake. The
Okay.
brake is just a slow down brake, and a brake mostly to just get on and the device doesn't roll away.
And the device is then would be really, really good for somebody who has mobility problems, but they've got to be able to work their arms and their hands for steering and braking.
One
Is that
arm.
correct? At least I guess at
One
least I
arm.
get at least one arm because you can put the brake on either side.
Yes,
Is that
exactly.
correct?
Yes.
Oh, so it's
And
okay.
just for the listeners that they know, it can fold up. You can, there's a hinge in the middle of the frame, which is also heavily engineered because there's no triangulation. And just in the middle of the frame on top, just before the seat, there's a ring. You can open it up, fold up the whole frame. The wheels are quick release, the seat comes up quick release, and you can travel with it easily.
Excellent. So, BE, let's take another break for our underwriting announcements. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. You're listening to 107.7 The Bronc and 1077thebronc.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronc is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health. There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit. Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
One oh 7.7 The Bronc and 1077thebronc.com. We're continuing our conversation on Health 411 from the Digital Bronc Studios. Welcome back. I'm Professor Jonathan Karp, and I'm here with BEA Link, the inventor of a three-wheeled walking bike to help people with mobility issues who are having these sort of issues. And we were BEA at the end of the last segment was telling us about sort of the characteristics, how one sits in the bike. The bike is mobile. It can be folded up. They put in a car. Do you need like, a huge amount of strength to lift this thing and get it into the trunk of a car or in a back seat or something like that? How
It
heavy?
weighs
How
about
heavy is it?
26 pounds with the wheels
Okay.
and the seat on it. If you take the wheels and the seat off, it's about 20 pounds. So it's not super light because it's well engineered and
It's
it can
metal,
hold some
right?
weight. It's an aluminum frame, but the
Okay.
steering mechanism is stainless steel through the front, and that's kind of where the weight comes
That's
in.
where
But
that that's where, so who so are the who are the people who are using this bike? Have we touched on, you've mentioned MS, you've mentioned stroke victims. I sort of brought in the idea of somebody who had like an amputation. Could it be just somebody who, has cardiovascular issues? And it just has trouble walking. distances, who, you know, like to be able to rest more easily. I mean, who are the people who are using the product?
Stubborn people. and that sounds a little bit weird, but the thing is that most medical devices are designed for a body with a problem, to move a body with a problem from A to B.
Yes.
Like an electric scooter, you just sit on the scooter and it moves you from A to B, but it doesn't activate your body. 60% of people that use wheelchairs can still use their legs somehow, but there is nothing designed for them to use their legs and to be at eye level. By the way, there's nothing wrong with wheelchairs. Again, it's the people that treat people in wheelchairs differently that is the problem. Wheelchairs are fantastic if you need one. Mm-hmm. And if you can still use your legs, it might be, you might want to choose something like an Olinker, mm-hmm. because it right. you can still use your legs and it activates your brain.
You seem like somebody who's very realistic and down to earth that way. And there, and I would just like that. I mean, an advantage to a wheelchair is somebody can push you from behind. Yeah. Right. And in your Olinker, there doesn't seem to be a mechanism like for a second person to move you unless you push the person's body. Or is there a way to do that?
You can hold the seat, walk beside the person and just push
oh,
the seat.
I see. So like put your arm around the person a little bit with the hand on the seat and walk.
And then you're at eye level. You're close. When you push somebody in a wheelchair, you can't see their face.
Right.
They can't see your face.
And
or they have to sort of stretch their neck up and turn around.
Right. It's hard to hear them talk. Absolutely. Oh, wow.
You don't have a connection.
How great.
Right? You know that.
How great if
but
it's
with
a couple.
The doctor, you're walking next to somebody and you can push them if they need, like if they go up a hill and you need a little extra push or they're tired or, you know, but you're talking to each other. You're close to each other.
Yeah. I was just thinking like a couple. I mean, I apologize for stepping on you when you were talking, but you're absolutely right. It's more like a natural conversation of a couple talking to each other and one person just needs an aid getting around. That's really cool.
I had, actually, you're in New Jersey. There's the first Olinker user in the U.S. lives in New Jersey, Joe. And he came with his wife, Denise, to Amsterdam when we were not even in the market, but he has MS. And he was like, my God, this thing is it. Uh-huh. This is it. I've been at home for 20 years. He's been sitting at home for 20 years, not being able to get out. And then when he found the Olinker, he was like, this thing is going to change my life. Wow. So he came to Amsterdam where I was sort of experimenting with like who's using this thing in the prototype phase. And when he got on the Olinker, he did 3.5 kilometers the first day. The moment he got on it, he did 3.5 kilometers through the Vondelpark. And then we were in the Museum of Modern Art and Denise said, we were walking side by side and that hasn't happened in years.
Oh, how wonderful. That's really nice. Well,
that's a couple that's been together for now 40 something years or something, or 50 years. I don't know. They're nearly their early 70s.
Well, I'm going to, because you brought it up. How did Joe find you in those early times? And how could, now that we've inspired people's interest to find you now, how do people find you now to learn more and actually see pictures of the Olinker?
On the website. And the easiest way is because it will automatically redirect to the websites in geographic areas is alinker.com, alinker.com. So www.alinker.com and you'll get redirected to the US, Canadian, or European websites.
Well, how did Joe find you in the early days? Joe from New Jersey.
Joe from New Jersey, seriously. Yeah, Joe is fantastic. He also became a shareholder in the company because he was like, this thing changed my life and I want to be part of this family. And he helped creating this family.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a family. This is not just a company selling bikes. It is the fact that we show up for each other and make those bikes accessible for people that don't have access to
And I see a theme developing here because one of the things you started off talking about in our first segment was the idea of disability justice or justice for people with disabilities. And I see that as a theme that you're bringing up here. How does that translate into the way that Olinker does business?
That we are not, you can't. Okay, that requires a little bit explanation on how the current medical system works. For example, if the insurance pays for you, mm-hmm. You have to get whatever the insurance pays for through a certified supplier. If we were to sell through a certified supplier, we would have to sell the liquor for 2-3 times as much as that we do now. It's a high quality thing. We're selling it for $2,500. And if this goes through certified suppliers, we would have to sell it for $6,000-$7,000 or something. I do not want to participate in that kind of world where the money doesn't go to the people that need to benefit. So we make the Alinker available in different ways. First of all, we sell it for what we can and still have a company. The company itself, we pay living wages to all of us. We don't have a CEO that, like me, like we don't have a CEO that makes $500,000 or something per year. We don't do those crazy things. We do other things though. We have a very ethical business. We know that everybody in the supply chain is treated well. And we're more than carbon neutral. And we make the Alinker available through having a 0% rent to own program for people. And we do crowdfunding campaigns with people.
Yes, I saw that on your website. Can you explain how that works for like a company?
We were the very first in the world to do that. Now people try to copy it, but they realize how hard it is to build a community. But we have done this successfully. We have integrated a crowdfunding platform in our website. So you can go to our website and do crowdfunding. If you can really, like, we acknowledge that people have been driven into poverty by this sick care system. The moment you have a diagnosis of MS, you lose your job, you lose family because it's too uncomfortable. Your sick care expenses go up and you lose income. You might lose your house, you lose your support, and then you're in the corner of poverty and what the fuck do you do now? So being driven into poverty, and now you need the Alinker, but now you can't, you don't have the $2,500. So for people who can't afford it, we do crowdfunding campaigns, and it's not that they ask for money. It is for them to share their story, what happens to you once you get diagnosed, because we don't know as able-bodied people what happens to you once you get dependent on the sick care system. And it's not a pretty picture. But we need to know more about that. So I see the crowdfunding campaigns that they generously share their story about what happens to educate us. And then we can show up with generosity so they can get their Alinkers. And we have completed to date 242 campaigns.
Wow. I want
242 people.
I'm fascinated by that. I my heart's just going, that's a wonderful thing, and I want to hear more about it. But we need to take a quick break here for our underwriting announcements here on Health 411. You're listening to 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7 TheBronc.com.
Health 411 Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on 107.7 The Bronc is underwritten by Capital Health. If someone you loved was sick, how far would you go to make sure they got the best care? Your mother, your sister, your best friend, your neighbor, your son? How far would you go for doctors who will meet with you longer so they really get to know you and who collaborate across disciplines so that they can devise a plan of care that's uniquely right for you? There's no doctor too far, no care too distant that you wouldn't go there. And for more than 100 years, so has Capital Health. From our hospitals in Trenton and Hopewell to our primary care offices all across Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties to right here at Rider University, Capital Health has the team of doctors, nurses, experts, specialists, and staff that you can count on to care as much about your loved ones as you do. Because you'd go to the ends of the earth if someone you loved was sick. And so do we, Capital Health.
There's no appointment needed for this doctor's visit.
Now back to the all-new Health 411, underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine.
What 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com. Well, you're listening to Health 411, and we're recording it from the Digital Bronx Studios on the Lawrenceville campus of Rider University in New Jersey, where Joe, one of the first users of A-Linker, is from, somewhere here in New Jersey, actually. And we're having a conversation with B. A-Link, and she's telling us about the idea that she knows she has a product that is expensive for some people, but the idea that a company would do sort of community funding of its devices is fascinating to me. And you're having success doing that. If you go on the website, you'll see way over 200 people have been able to raise money to help get the A-Linker product. Some of them have actually raised a little bit more than the $2,500 that you mentioned. If some people have raised $3,600, what happens to the little bit of extra that people are sometimes crowdfunding and raising?
That goes into the collective campaign, and the collective campaign is a sort of bucket campaign that if campaigns are struggling and people they might not reach their goal, we can tap from the collective campaign offline payments, back-end payments to the campaign to make sure that they're successful. So the collective campaign is a sort of bucket campaign that also larger companies or organizations can make donations to, like corporate donations. Mm-hmm. It's the one campaign that feeds them all, so to speak, as a sort of backstop that you're not alone with your campaign.
Right. So the money is used for the purpose that it was meant, even if the people went over the actual cost of it. I think that is in terms of corporate capitalistic thinking kind of thing. Not many people would do that, actually want to, allow people to do that. I also saw on the website, not everybody would want to put their story out there. There might be reasons where people don't want more privacy than to have a picture and a story and sort of crowdfund. I also saw that, there's actually sort of an installment plan kind of thing that people can do to purchase the device if they want to. How would that work?
Well, typical finance plans cost 7%. And I think that's just greedy theft of people that, need financing plans. They're generally not the people that have most money. So I don't want to participate in greedy plans. So we have a 0% rent to own. You pay at the end exactly the same as if you would buy it outright. With that thing that at the beginning, you pay 4 months rent. So it's sort of a threshold. That's not reimbursable. That's just rent, as if you would rent it. After the 4 months, you can decide whether you keep it or not. If you keep it, you pay 8 more installments till within a year you have paid off your linker. I lost my train of thought there.
No, you're telling us about the installment plan, the rent-to-own process, and I'll stimulate your memory because I did look at the website. It looks like you make one payment, then you have several months, then that one payment is applied to the price of the walking bike over, I don't know if it's one set amount of time or you get to choose how long you want to make payments for.
It's a total of a year. So it's 4 months.
Form, okay.
So it's 4 months the down payment and then 8 equal payments for each month. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to say is that at one threshold is the 4 months. We make that a threshold because if you cannot come up with $1,000, we don't want you to just put something extra on your credit card to help people. Because then people are just a payment plan. And that actually drives people further into poverty because you just add it to your credit card debt. And I don't want that. Mm-hmm. So it's a sort of safeguard. If you can't come up with $1,000, please do a crowdfunding mm-hmm. campaign with us.
Is there a market for a used or secondhand market for these devices? And you seem like we started off talking about being real about the cycle of life. Some people will use these things and then they pass away. And then the family has this absolutely. Thing. Is there a used market for these things afterwards? That
yes,
you can
there
buy
is.
These things?
Not through us, there's because we don't have, currently, we don't have the capacity to, if you sell a secondhand thing, you need to make sure that it's all operational. Mm-hmm. So you have to ship it back and then we have to, we don't have that capacity. So we always ask people to use eBay or whatever to sell them. And of course that happens because we've been in the market now for 7 years. And people do pass away, or they have an extra stroke, or MS has progressed so much that they can't use it anymore. Right. Yes, that happens.
But there is a market, so it's really an investment that people make. The money that they pay for the device is an investment, and you get to use it. And at the end, there will be some return, not just of the product of use and enjoying it, but at the end, your family can get some return on it, which is actually,
I think, the return comes through, and this is a perception. Like you say, the Elinker is $2,500, the electrical scooter is $2,500, but there's effects of that. And if you see it as medicine, for example, one medicine has side effects, the other one doesn't have side effects. The side effects of an electrical scooter and just sitting, if you can still use your legs for the same user who could use a electric scooter or a Elinker, there's detrimental effects to using the scooter that will actually cost money. And we're tracking now the cost savings that people have because they changed their trajectory in the sick care system by inserting in a Elinker, so to speak. People save tens of thousands of dollars on medical expenses that they do not have anymore because they're more engaged. They ditch their antidepressants.
Right.
It's
not just physical, it's psychological. And that's like, just to bring back things that you're talking about. You have this, you feel like a person again. I'm just thinking of like my mom in the wheelchair. You know, it just being, you have some, a little bit more self-determination. You can interact better with the world.
Get employed again.
Yes, in a society
where you can travel again with your family. Yeah. You're involved. Yep. People get a lot happier. And somebody just did 160 kilometers in 4 days in that big walk of the world in Nijmegen. She had a brain tumor that got removed with a lot of collateral damage. If she walks in little circles, so she can't walk 40 kilometers. She did that on her Elinker. She said, this is the closest I feel to myself before I had a brain tumor. Wow. It makes me feel me again. I can feel myself again.
Yeah.
And this is generally and that has so many side effects. You eat better because you feel happier. You're more out and about, you move more. There's so many health benefits to side effects to the Elinker that it will save a lot of sick care expenses.
Yeah. And I guess the word is, just because you have something that is preventing your mobility, it doesn't mean you're not a person. You're still.
That's the thing. We're not a body with a problem.
Right.
We're the same people.
Same
fact that I'm treated differently, and I'm treated now as a disabled person, makes me a different person in this society, but I haven't changed. And it is time that we stop treating each other based on the external characteristics, but start connecting with each other on who we choose to be.
Thank you.
If we choose to be a kind person, it doesn't matter if I have a black skin or a yellow skin or a white skin, can walk, I'm a gender weirdo or whatever. I chose to be a kind person and I show up with kindness. That is important. And we live in a society that we only judge people on the external characteristics that we have. And it is killing us all.
Yeah.
Show up with kindness and then connect in kindness and in vulnerability.
You know how wonderful it is to talk to somebody who has this company with a social conscience? I think in not just doing it to turn a profit, I think that is wonderful. I wish this product was around before my mother had passed away, because it's something that I would have felt good purchasing, like for my mom at the time, and I would have felt like I was contributing, helping her, and helping a company that not just lining the products of a huge CEO. And thank you for that. That's you're nodding. Unfortunately, our conversation is going to have to come to an end because we're at the end of this. At this next segment, is there anything you want to add that we haven't talked about in the next 30 seconds or so that we sort of have?
Don't think of yourself as an able-bodied person and the disabled-bodied people there. We're all temporarily able-bodied people and shit can happen to us every day. If we can make a safer space to become disabled, then maybe it's less scary to be disabled. We all face disability somewhere in our lives. Look at us both, Nick. We both have glasses on. Mm-hmm. That is a disability. We make it look cool because I've got cool glasses and you make that look cool. So, but that's the principle. Make it look cool and make it accessible. And
I am impressed.
It's not the disabled people out there. Don't isolate us and them.
Okay. For our listeners, please go to alinker.com. Go look at pictures of the three-wheeled walking bike. I think you'll be impressed. There's videos about how it's made, about the people, great stories about the people who are using it. So I encourage people to go to that. Thank you, B. This has been a great, great conversation. This is 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com. We're recording from the digital studios at Rank Rider University. Thank you for listening to Health 411. This program is part of Capital Health and Rider University efforts to bring people together to address all issues associated with health and healthcare. Hope today's conversation about the A-Linker three-wheeled walking bike has helped inform you about this product and how wonderful it is to have a company with a social conscience. If you have questions and or comments about this program or want to make suggestions for future broadcasts, please email us at health411@rider.edu.
Remember, you have a doctor's appointment scheduled for every Sunday at 10 a.m. Don't miss the all-new Health 411 with Dr. Jonathan Karp and our expert medical guest from Capital Health. You can listen to Health 411 anytime on demand. Go to 1077thebronc.com/health411 to listen to past episodes or tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. to hear the weekend rewind edition of Health 411. Health 411 on 1077 The Bronc is underwritten by Capital Health, Minds Advancing Medicine. Capital Health is the region's leader in providing progressive quality patient care with exceptional physicians, nurses, and staff, as well as advanced technology.